put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Hello and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, psychologist, life coach, mother of two, and author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, and of course, whenever possible, sex.
Ooh, hi.
As you can hear, I am joined by the charming and talented Todd Anderson, actor, husband, father extraordinaire. He comes in handy for a male perspective. Thanks for being here, Todd.
Woo! It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Are you a stay-at-home parent? Are you sick of your kids? Are you wondering when it's going to get better? Well, we're going to talk about that today. We have a guest today who is also here to talk about the male perspective. He's the host of The Gamut with Steve Belanger here on Sideshow Network. For more information on The Gamut or his new one-man show, It's About Time, opening soon in New York City, go to stevebelanger.com. So, stay-at-home dad, Steve Belanger, thank you for joining us. Woo! Applause for you, too.
Yay!
Yes, you get applause
so much
for that.
And Todd got such good applause.
No. You'll hear it. You'll hear it in the edit.
We'll
you get, like,
post,
the whole... Yeah,
like
it's all in post, baby.
Chanting and
oh,
the
yeah.
It,
you got Maria, can we get a stadium for him?
That.
That'd be awesome. I would like that. Okay, yeah. just gets the bar clapping. He gets the, like... Okay.
Kind of like the end of Rudy when he comes out to play, join the field.
Yeah,
the
place
just goes crazy.
Right there. Grab that one.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Rudy. So,
yes.
You're a stay-at-home dad.
Yes.
Yeah. And
which I used to say stay-at-home. I used to say a work-from-home dad.
Yeah.
But there's so little work that you can do when you're
yes.
a work-from-home dad.
So, are you sick of your kids yet? How old are they?
I've been in LA for 3 days now. I don't even remember what they look like.
It's just great. Oh, do you miss them?
I do. I'm that ridiculous parent. I can't wait to get away.
Oh, we all are. We love them, and they make us crazy. That's
I do
just the
countdown.
Way it is, right?
To, oh, I'm gonna be in. I'm gonna have a hotel room to myself. 3 days in LA. It's gonna be great. I can't wait to leave as soon as I get on the plane.
I know. And you're like, get in there, and you're Skyping like the second. Hi, baby. I miss you.
And
I know.
My wife this time said, "Don't you know?" She knows me. She's like, "Don't miss us. Just." Have a good time, get your work done, do everything.
Right.
And then I get on the plane, I open up the script I've been working on, and in there is a note that she put in from my son, like folded origami style. I love you, Daddy. I miss you. Have a great trip. Just blubbering tears. We're over Des Moines. Yeah. I've been next to this nice couple for 2 hours. They think I'm so nice, and they look over, and I've just got my mascaras running.
Crazy. they alert the sky marshal.
This guy's got snot bubbles coming out of his face.
You need to move him, stat.
Unhinged.
He's reading some type of note written in gibberish. I'm like, oh God, it's so sad.
So Todd, you're both recovering actors or actually non-recovered actors.
Not recovered,
yeah. Still suffering actors. Both of you actually, you meet lots of moms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
We're not talking about the hot moms today, Todd.
Oh no.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure they're all hot. But let's just talk about relating to the moms, okay?
Relating to the moms,
so,
not about their hotness.
Right, not today.
Just about them
Another
being
day.
Parents.
Okay, settle. All right, so tell me, because we've talked about this a little bit, and you seem to meet moms that really kind of feel like they're so happy that you can relate on the same level, that it's kind of the same for you.
Yeah, it started with an article I did for Men's Health after my first son was born.
Okay.
And that first year is just a fucking bear.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. And
yeah.
I wrote
and
this
beautiful
article.
And horrible.
Everybody says, don't you love babies? I like my baby. And even that, it was...
It's I'm
all,
with you there.
All risk, no reward.
Yeah.
Everybody's still, but they're so cute when they smile. I'm like, yeah, that's about 8 seconds of my day. The rest is fucking misery. And I wrote an article about that. Like, I think I hate my infant son. And people were... My parents hated it, but everybody in the world was like, oh, thank God you said
somebody
something.
Said it.
We all feel that way.
Right. Somebody said it.
And specifically talking to moms, they're like, oh, I thought it was just women who felt that way. I'm like, no, dude, I've been, primary caregiver, And right. That's just a nonstop job.
And it's just 24/7. And oh. And I
there's
always
more,
tell people,
be more than
I always,
that. It's like 27.
It's got to be, right? Like 28/7. I tell people the first year of the first baby is the hardest year on your marriage as well.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's really hard to remember that you're on the same team.
It's sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
It's just all this new shit that you're learning, not learning. You're trying to figure out nonstop. Oh, he's got the sniffles. Oh, he's coughing too much. Like you're looking
yeah.
up crew.
When to
you're
worry,
up
when
SIDS,
not to worry, when
up
yeah.
every
yeah.
goddamn
all
thing.
Of those things.
And all in 2 hour windows of I have to feed him again. I have to change
yes.
things. I have to do this. And I haven't slept in 4 days and I haven't seen my wife and we haven't said a nice thing in 2 months. And
my son was a preemie baby.
Oh.
Try that. Like
yeah.
when you, and as soon as you get him home, like multiply that by 100. Like
it's the, just con-
like
chronic fear.
Everything that can go wrong, you're thinking, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, panic.
Should we take him back to the hospital? But
my first guy had a milk allergy that they couldn't diagnose, they couldn't figure out. So he kept getting, and my wife couldn't breastfeed after the first couple of weeks, so we gave him normal formula, which set off his insides.
Right. Aww,
so he never slept more than an hour and a half for
yeah.
the first 4 months. So we were
yeah.
fucking – he slept in a, the swing, you know, the baby swing?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He slept in that for 4 months.
My daughter slept in her stroller in the Snap and Go till she was almost a year for every single nap, for every – I mean, that
did
kid –
did it stunt her growth? Could she
no,
not expand?
No. You, like, because, you know, the I mean, but that was the only place that she would nap. And I really think that the hardest part – I mean, I would imagine you guys would agree. The hardest part about that first year is just the Navy SEAL style – sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
shit
crazy.
That just makes you crazy. I mean, I shouldn't have been driving a vehicle. I never slept 4 hours for 9 months.
Yeah, it's impossible.
I never got a full sleep cycle. And then my second child, that's the problem, thinking they're going to be any easier. She still eats this way, but she wanted to nurse for 5 minutes every 45 minutes.
Yeah, so do I.
You know the other thing you have
I
to
get
do?
That.
When you have
I appreciate
the,
that.
When you have the baby, the other thing you have to do is because you get all these freaking gifts from people mm-hmm. who love you and want to help you. And you get like those swings, you know, like those automated mm-hmm. swings.
Yeah, the thing that your kid slept in for 4 months
to put together.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was just like most of that for me was just me cursing. That's it. Fucking really? What the fuck? Is it? Where the fuck is this? And the fuck?
And
like
the tiniest
hours.
Instructions.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You should take into account a tired parent is putting it together.
Right, right.
It should just be huge.
They
fucking
should be
letters.
Yeah, huge letters. And now go have a glass of wine. And come back to step six,
right?
That's
right.
How
they
the
should help you like that.
Should
like,
and then, lay out.
And then I did that for hours on that stupid swing, and then I put the baby in the swing, and he fucking hated it. He was like, ah, why would you put me in this goddamn thing?
He thinks it's the Spanish Inquisition. Like, yeah, oh, no, this is supposed to be pleasurable.
You're supposed to fall asleep. You ah,
oh
listen to
God.
The music. No. Look at the mobile. Fuck you.
Get me
kid.
Off this.
All this stimulation.
My wife used to work in the city and be gone from 7 in the morning till 6 in the afternoon. And there were so many days she would walk in the door like hopeful that things got better. And I would just be the guy with the snot bubbles and the tears just handing out the child
yeah.
and saying, I need to go away for 5 minutes.
Right.
Just get out of
you
the
hear
get
that?
Away from him.
You hear that? It happens to the dads too.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah.
I remember very specifically one night having to run out to Save-On to buy diapers. And I wanted to be the one to go. Okay. I'd been in the house for 6 weeks. I had my baby at home. I was in those walls
mm-hmm.
and my ex-husband who he'd been working, he'd gotten a job and he'd been in the studio just like 24/7. He's literally like, I'm handing him the baby like I'm handing him a bomb. Right. And he's just standing there and I'm like, I'll be back in 25 minutes. Okay. Like at the most. Okay. And he's like, okay. And I come back. I'm not kidding you. I kid you not. He's like, I can't sit down. Like she won't let me sit down. Every time I sit down, she cries. I'm like,
yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
it's so intense all the time. And I just think what you did by just saying it, just
yeah.
saying like, I think I might hate my kid. I just think that's something that we have to just kind of reconcile those feelings and know, obviously, you don't hate your child. You just hate this process.
And there are
right?
plenty of people who saw that headline and go, oh, what a horrible parent.
Horrible
they should
parent.
Take that child from you. I'm like, keep reading.
Keep like, reading.
There's not a parent on alive that hasn't had that
feeling.
Hasn't
had like, a moment.
You little shit. Like,
please stop crying. Please.
How can you possibly be shitting and pissing on me right. at the same time? Again.
Again. Louis C.K. has built an empire
yes, that's
on
true.
Hating his children.
You opened so the gateway deal? To yeah. him, right? Exactly. When do you think it gets better?
It was miserable for the first 2 years. And
2 years.
Like a switch turned. He started talking. He starts walking. And it was all of a sudden like, oh, I have a new best friend. Oh, yeah. This is entirely different.
I think that that's a really important part of it is that they start to communicate. And my babies were girls and they tend to talk before they start jumping off, you know, furniture. And mm-hmm. so they just talk a little bit earlier. But, you know, didn't walk till they were 14 months. Once, especially my second child, could talk, being able to actually communicate and meet their needs and connect in a way that you feel like you know what the fuck you're doing helps tremendously.
Because up till that point, everything is a slot machine or
guesswork.
Vegas blackjack.
Right.
Let's see. He's crying.
Intermittent
do I hit?
Reinforcement.
Do I stick? I have 16 against the dealer's 27. Maybe I'll give him a bottle. I don't know what to do. Like, but as soon as they can say, I would like to watch TV. I'm hungry. I've crapped myself. Like, oh, okay.
Now fantastic.
I know how
now
this
we're getting
works.
Somewhere. Exactly. Yeah. So you feel like it gets better at about 2 years. I think for a lot of people, it gets better about 14 months and then they get knocked up again.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
you know,
you know, my sister's a good example of that.
Yeah.
Her baby was colicky.
Yeah.
So for the first 6 months, he was just crying.
Mm-hmm. Natalie
and then
that
hit the 6 month mark and he stopped crying. It was cute. And then she went from I never, ever want to have another child to immediately like, I want to have another kid. I'm like, how have you forgotten about those 6 months so quickly?
That's ours are 3 years apart. And it was like, the first 2 years suck, and then we had a great year. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, we should do this again. Yeah. That is so fucking great. And then you have another one. Oh, my God. What was I thinking? Yeah. Dumbass. Yeah.
So now your kids are 7 and 4, right?
7 and 4.
Okay, so they're school age-ish, right? One of them.
The oldest one's in second grade. The other guy goes to preschool 3 days a week.
Yeah, that's nice.
Oh.
But isn't it funny how you drop them off, and then as soon as you get home, you feel like it's time to turn around and go back and get them?
Well, the little guy... I'm very lucky. Some people only do half days. He's in school from 9 to 3:30.
Oh, that you can actually get something done.
So
that's amazing.
I have when they go to like summer camp,
yeah.
It's 9 to 1 and yeah, it's like all right, I dropped them off. I went for a run. Fuck, I barely have time to brush my teeth and they're coming home.
Yeah, you're like I might as well just go to Starbucks with the computer because that's the only way anything's going to get done.
Because I'm also a writer, so I'm like all right, I'm going to get something done. And there's nothing worse when you're writing than that fucking ticking clock.
Yeah.
I know. Like,
oh, I'm going to write for an hour. Nobody can write for an hour. You sit down and you can either write or you can't write.
Right.
If you do,
that's so true.
Something could come out in 20 minutes or you could just put your head down and hours will fly by. But
well,
as soon as you keep looking at the clock, it doesn't work.
I think that's part of the challenge. I mean, I would imagine a lot of moms out there are, you know, entrepreneurs or, you know, they work from home and they, you know, it's that same issue. You know, it's really hard. That time becomes so precious,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to and I guess I think that the best advice I ever got was don't get on other people's agendas. Don't, you know, if you can avoid like reading your email or responding to your mm-hmm. email or just delete as many as you possibly can or whatever. Just don't get on other people's agendas because that little bit of time that you have when they're at preschool, that's it.
That's it.
Like I try to pretend that I can work in the evenings when I have nothing gets done. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
But it takes you years to get that rhythm.
It really does because, and so I will tell you now, if your kids are little, don't judge yourself for not being able to work. Like when they are a barrage of needs. That's what they should just have on their tattooed on them. I am a barrage of needs.
And the magical part is while you're dealing with that barrage,
right.
you forget all about your needs.
Oh.
And your wife's
completely.
Needs.
Completely.
And all the other things pulling at you in the
and
world.
And then what happens is if I do try to sit at my computer or, you know, or return an email on my phone or something like that, or maybe try to get a little bit of something done or make a post or this, and then you go into the black hole of Facebook, and it's terrible. Then you feel like the shitty parent that's ignoring your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my daughter used to say, Mommy, you need to like get off your phone. I'm working.
Shut
sort of.
Well, when the first one, when he was coming, you know, I was an actor going into the city for auditions, and I thought I could keep that lifestyle going. And then it was like, all right, I have a commercial audition, which, as you know, Todd, like, you don't book everyone. You go in, it's a numbers game. You have to keep going.
No, that's your auditioning's your job.
But now I'm, you know, I'm
an hour. You don't get paid for, really.
Right.
I'm an hour outside of the city. So every commercial audition, which can be like a 2-minute, sale line.
Is a major commute.
Yeah.
Is 3 hours of my life.
Yeah.
And then once we had the kid, it was like, you start doing, okay, it could be a national commercial. That could be worth $50,000. But I have a 1 in 120 chance of booking it. Do I want to, you know, the 3-hour commitment, like that's the only 3 hours I'm going to have this week. Do I want to spend it on a train and seeing a casting director?
I kind of do that with a gym. I'm like, well, I have a 1 in 120 chance of losing a pound. So do I really want to go to that workout? No.
I actually got in slightly better shape because my gym had a daycare.
Ah, see, this is good. Find a gym with a daycare. That's an excellent thing to do.
It got me through the
right?
first 3 years. Yeah.
Yes, I do see that at my gym, and I think, good for you, mommies.
There would be sometimes I would just
or daddy's,
go,
sorry.
I would go bring him. He would go see Debbie at the gym, who he loved. I'd drop him off, and I would just go sit in the steam for an hour. Like an old Jewish man. I would just
that's awesome.
It's quiet. It's nice.
I love that.
For me, it was – I didn't do the gym thing. I got one of those Bob strollers. Have you seen these things? They have like awesome like bike – off-road bike tires on them.
Oh, yeah. Like
and
it's
suspension.
Like
a front, good suspension. Yeah,
good suspension, mm-hmm. and the front wheel swivels around. So and that was the one time, the one place where I knew he would fall asleep. If I went jogging with him, he would fall asleep.
Nice. See, back in New York, both our kids were born in the fall. So I had a long winter.
I can't leave
the house.
Yeah.
I can't take him in the stroller. Right, it's just, the hell do you do?
Yeah, I live
it's
in L.A.
Chilly.
Because I'm smarter. Maybe.
Could be that. All right. Maybe.
It could be.
Let's talk about what you're most afraid of in the future,
go the
Steve.
Is Todd smarter? Probably. Better looking? No. Taller? No. Richer? We'll figure that one out later.
All right. Both of you stand up. Let's have an ass contest. Okay. So, Steve.
I've been working my glutes, man.
What are you most afraid of in the future with this whole parenting gig?
I have it pretty good now. Like, I'm counting down until September. The little guy goes in kindergarten. That's going to be 5 days a week of 6.5 hours to myself.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
It's going to be glorious. But now they both like me. Like, I'm the most amazing dad in the world to them.
It's pretty cool.
I know that's not going to last forever.
Right.
I see
you know
it
what,
in
though?
The young teens and stuff.
I will speak to that, though.
Hit
I think, yeah. Okay. Well, and I'm actually writing a book about parenting. Little short one. Little shorty book. At the end of MILF 101, I talk about cake.
Yes.
Connecting, allowing, killing the ego, right? I really think that if you can follow those four principles, I do think that they will continue to love you. So far, my kids, my girls, and I have girls, same gender kids. That's usually the nightmare. So far, I am still so close to my 11 and 15-year-old. And
that's the age,
I don't even understand why they like me so much. But the only thing I can say is that I'm emotionally safe for them. And I think that when you're that person to them and you remain emotionally safe, like they can come to you, your goal with them, and I'm not saying don't discipline. I mean, discipline is absolutely a part of
a huge hard ass.
All of this, you know, a follow through because that helps them feel safe, mm-hmm. right? But if you focus on connecting with your kids and allowing them to be who they are, right? And that involves killing your ego because you have to get your ego out of the way when you start projecting all of this shit that you want your kids to be or mm-hmm. ways that you want them to think and ways that you want them to feel. And when you really allow them to have all of their own desires and dreams and tastes and food preferences and music preferences and people preferences and all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you are emotionally safe. So... But you do have to get your ego out of the way a lot.
Totally.
Now, with discipline, you kind of have to win. You know what? Like you have to most
win.
Of the time, like
I
99. You reserve the right to change your mind every once in a while, you know. But you let them know that that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you can keep your ego out of it, and you're really your main goal is to connect with them and allow them to be who they are and flourish in that, they are still going to be fucking crazy about you.
Yeah.
Do you think my son is going to be crazy about me when he turns 16 and I force him to go to trade school? Because college is too expensive, let's
right.
be honest. And college education
hey, you're just looking
doesn't
out
guarantee
for him.
Jobs
you're just looking
anymore.
Out for, you're just looking he out for
may,
his plan
he
B.
He may not care. Like, do kids
right?
still care about
He's
college?
Like,
I don't know.
His backup plan.
It was always because parents forced you to go to college. Like right. Now a college, my degree in psychology has really done wonders for me in my corporate career in finance and now a career in showbiz. It's really, really
the salary check I get is amazing. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying. Trade school.
Right?
Trade school.
Right?
I would love
pull
having
them out of high
school. If they could fix my car, that would be fucking
awesome.
Todd,
you're going to...
choose the trade.
I was going to say, Todd, you're going to make him think it's his idea.
Oh.
Yeah.
See? Because you're just going to like let him be who he is and make suggestions and let him know you would support him in something if he decided to just get a trade just to have one.
Yeah. Yes, you know? I think you should drop out of high school and go to trade school. I think that's a great idea.
I'm pretty convinced one of my kids is going to like take the GED and, you know, move to Paris or something and go to culinary school. So I'm going to lose her quick. So I better enjoy her while she's home, you know. And she's loud.
She's loud.
She's loud.
Then that'll be a nice break
for you.
I mean,
yeah. No, I'll miss her though. See, this is the issue. Like, we love them. I mean, but think about it. Like, would you spend 24/7 with most of your friends, right? Because everybody has personality quirks, right? Everybody does.
Sure.
And so here's this little human that you made that you volunteered to live with. Okay. So. You allow your kids to have their own personality and you honor their own, their personalities, but you realize like this is a relationship that you volunteered for, right?
The ego thing you talked about before, the first, like my son goes with whatever I want, but I am a diehard Chiefs fan in football.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the dish, you know, I've been dreaming for 20 years that I'm going to someday have a son that will watch football with me.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of did not knowing anything the first, and then he turned 4 or 5. And the first game of the season they were playing, I don't know who it was, like they're playing the Falcons. Oh, I love the Falcons. I'm like, what? What?
Uh-oh.
And like by the second week, oh, I love the Giants today. Nope. No, what? Like he would like whatever team Chiefs were playing. And mommy had a little talk with him. Like, and that hurt to the bone. Like, you don't want what I want? How is that possible?
Right.
So that's going to get worse as he gets older and has his own likes, right?
He might just stop watching sports.
But you know what? There's going to be the day that they're playing some team that he'll turn around to one of his friends and be like, "Well, I'm rooting for the Chiefs because my dad likes the Chiefs," and it'll be like, "Oh."
Then I'll blubber like a little
girl. You'll blubber like a little girl. You will. So I have one more question for you. I know that a lot of women feel a little bit of an identity crisis in being an at-home parent, you know, where they're not outside the home earning a paycheck,
mm-hmm.
right? And even those that are entrepreneurial and work at home, you know, always kind of going through a little bit of an identity crisis as to like, you know, who am I? Do you feel as a man, I mean, I know that you're a writer and an actor, do you feel like you go through those same feelings or is it maybe a little bit different? Do you get like more credit for being an at-home parent as a dad?
No, I feel, I went off the fucking cliff like Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
I used to be a corporate guy, so I know who I was. I was a vice president at Time Inc. I was a, you know, I was a suit and tie.
It's tattooed on
your
heart.
Guy, yeah.
Mm. Right.
And then I blew off that world. And for many years before my kids came along, it was, oh, you're still doing the comedy thing? Are you still trying to act?
Uh-huh.
Like all those, are you still trying to write? Like everything, are you still trying to? I'm like, no, I'm doing all those things. Like you may not see me on your TV every week. My friends... Why don't you get on that show, Lost?
Yeah.
We like that show. Like,
why don't you be a cop on one of those Law & Order shows?
You look like a pilot. What's that show? Pan Am. You should be on that. I saw that. It's going to be wonderful. Marge's friend said
it
was delicious.
It's like looking at a pretty teenage girl and going, you know, you should be in a Victoria's Secret magazine. You know?
Uh-huh, yeah,
yeah. Great idea.
That's
great.
I'm going to call them right now.
I know when they're going to call holding in a football game. So my wife, oh, you should be an announcer. I'm like, no. I've just been watching football for 40 years.
In my next life, though, I am totally doing that. I fucking love football. I'm like, these people have the best job.
So you
I'm
go.
So jealous.
I went from, you know, their years of people giving me that look, like, kind of like I got when your parents get divorced. Oh, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you still not working? Like, you get that look. And then you're a stay-at-home dad. It was like, oh, so now you have something to do. I'm like, no, now I have 4 times as much to do because I'm still trying to write and act. And now I've got this little fucking bundle of shit balls following me around nonstop.
Barrage of needs.
Yeah. But it totally messes with yourself because then you can't even do the stuff that you want to be doing.
Right.
So
right.
It's all just very strange. And I always hated, you know, like you said, 24/7 with my kid. Every time we would do all the housework.
Oh,
I do the grocery shopping. I do everything.
Yeah.
Every time I go to a store with the kid, there's always a woman behind the counter. Oh, get daddy giving mommy the day off? I'm like, No.
Yeah.
My wife was like, why do you always take that comment so hard? I'm like, first of all, I hear it 6 times a week.
Sure.
Like, I know all men are probably horrible and never spend time with their children, but just because I'm...
That is so not true.
It's not,
but I
right?
understand that that is the, yeah.
Daddy's giving mommy a couple hours on a Saturday. How nice. I'm like, no, this is what I do. Yeah. You get that, right?
All the time.
Yeah.
I was actually at the grocery store the other day doing the grocery shopping. I ran into my neighbor and she was like, where's your family? And I was like, well, my son's on a play date with his buddy and my wife's at home preparing for her week of work. And she goes, and you're doing the shopping? And I was like,
wow, really?
I always do the shopping. And then like she was like, oh. And like part of me was like, I've just been entirely emasculated here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then when she walked away, I was like, but she got in her car and started going, he always does the shopping.
My husband's a dick.
Just changed her whole world.
And then she went home and there was a huge fight. So I ruined her day.
You ruined her day too.
Good for you. Good for you.
Good for you.
There it is.
Do you feel, because I've been doing this for 7 years, like when I shop with the boys, like that's something to do with them.
Right.
And now that they're in school and if we need something, I feel like when I go to a supermarket by myself, what an utter fucking waste of time that is. Like, I'm not entertaining children. I'm just going in to get
right.
stuff.
You're not multitasking.
Yeah.
Right? Because, when you go with the kids, then you're multitasking. Then you're, like, wearing them out.
That's a good point.
They get to look at pretty colors.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
Yeah. And then
my kids are 11 and 15. I still feel that way.
Right?
If you want to come to the market, let's go because this is going to count.
And then after years of smiling at the cute mom who also has a toddler, when I do that when I'm alone, it gets totally different
reaction. That's totally creepy.
Yeah, right? I'm like,
you need the kids to, like, you know, they.
Yeah.
7 years,
take
I got nothing but smiles and hi. Oh, he's so cute. And when I go by myself, it's like, oh, run, honey, run.
Oh.
Now you're just a dude.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your perspective. And I think it's helpful. I think it's really good for everybody to know that we're all in the same boat.
We are all the same.
Right?
We
it's
all
not
hate
easy.
Our children.
It's not.
For a little while.
Well, it's just not this easy, romantic, beautiful thing. Like I used to always say, you know, when I put on that jacket of motherhood, it just wasn't like this perfect fit, you know?
Yeah.
It was fucking uncomfortable, you know? And I just had to... Just to wear it and do it.
And
you
I think
know?
It's worse.
I love the crap out of my kids.
It's probably worse now with social media because I know going on Facebook and seeing, you know, somebody with a 12-month-old, just spent the weekend making our own baby food. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
They're so lying.
They got to be.
So log off Facebook and go cry on the floor. You
it's
know
just,
that's not true.
Their whole page is humble brag. Just knitted my own fucking diapers for little Petunia.
Yes, and it's all the perfect pictures of the families. And isn't it lovely? And
Facebook is all just liars.
It's
right?
Just,
the whole thing
it's
is just liars.
Highlights. It's just highlights. Yeah, don't pay attention to that stuff.
I only post the bad stuff so people can go, I feel better about my life.
Right,
now.
And then they just all feel bad for you.
That's fine.
That's good. We'll work the sympathy card. So how do we find you? Tell us again.
Everything is at stevebelanger.com. On Twitter, at stevebelanger.
Oh, we can tweet you.
Everything is my name. Yes, tweet away.
Nice.
Sister.
Nice. And where will you be?
You can find me.
Todd will be at the Albertsons.
At the Albertsons.
Pico. Albertsons shopping.
Because you're such a good guy. Yeah. Can't
or
believe
maybe
you
I'll
shop.
Be doing the house cleaning.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe
know.
You'll be doing some dishes. Well, we're going to talk about that in the
he
next
He is wearing
show.
A French maid's outfit
yes.
today, which is very, very strange.
Thank See, you. Now you would have won the butt contest if you'd worn that. So, all right, you can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable. And also, please like the MILF Talk page if you would be so kind. Be sure to download your free goal setting workbook from my website, makeyourlifefabulous.com. And my book, MILF 101, is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble in paperback, as well as Kindle, Nook, iBooks, and more. Thank you for listening, and thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.